Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and the needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, they shall consume away. The wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. For such as be blessed of him shall inherit the earth, and they that be cursed of him shall be cut off. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good, and dwell forevermore. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. The righteous shall inherit the land, and dwell therein forever. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. The wicked watcheth the righteous, and seeketh to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand, nor condemn him when he is judged. Wait on the Lord, and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land, when the wicked are cut off, and thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For the end of that man is peace, but the transgressor shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. Now this Psalm of David begins with some wisdom from David that he had to learn in his experience of going through life. And the only way that men can learn this particular lesson is by experience, as the Lord is able to teach. Because by nature, Because we have the work of the law written in our hearts, it is natural for us to fret when people seem to get away with stuff. You know, especially when they get away with stuff that's against us. You know, when they take advantage of us. Now, we can kind of live with it a little better if it's somebody else, you know. But when somebody does something to take advantage of us, or somebody does something that we don't like or whatever, then it's just natural. You don't have to teach somebody that. You don't ever have to tell somebody. Now, when people mistreat you, you need to be upset about that. You know, nobody ever had to teach you that. You just knew that, didn't you? And that's because the work of the law is written in your heart. The law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. I mean, it's pretty stringent. There's no mercy in the law. And, you know, that's in us. And as we've said so many times, men often say, well, that's not true because men disobey the law. Well, sure, men disobey the law, but they disobey the law for their benefit, you see. They don't disobey the law for somebody else's benefit because they want to use the law for their own benefit. And they want judgment and justice to occur on other people, but not on themselves, because they won't excuse their own way. You know, you can take something from somebody else and you can feel justified in it, but if somebody takes something from you, what do you think? Well, that's not right. Why is that? It's because the work of the law is written in your heart. And you can't escape that. And you'll be the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another, as Paul says there in Romans, because of that. That's just the way men are. But David says, and of course we know that all of this is the instruction of the Lord, and not only is it the instruction of the Lord, but the Lord Jesus Christ came as the very epitome of what it is not to fret himself against evildoers. See, he didn't sit around wondering what was going to happen, you know, why this was and that sort of thing. He just came to do his Father's will. So we're not to fret ourselves because of evildoers, nor be envious against the workers of iniquity. What do they have that we need? I mean, why would we be concerned with what they're doing? They're going to do what they're going to do. We don't need to be upset about it. For he says, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and withers the green herb. Brethren, our consideration of the wicked is we ought to have pity on them as we consider what their end is. Now, you know, what a privilege it is to be delivered from going contrary to the way of God. That is, to have it in our mind and in our way of going. Now, all of us, by nature, we know that we do go astray from God, but it pains our heart when we see that revealed to us. But see, the wicked man, he doesn't have that constraint. He's just going on about his way. And why should we be angry about that? We should be pitying him. Well, Lord, he doesn't know. You see that he is on a quick path to destruction. For they shall soon be cut down. Soon. When I was a young man, I used to think that 60 years old, you was getting pretty old when you got to be 60. And now I don't even think 90's all that old. I mean, you know, it's funny how your perspective of things changes. But it doesn't make any difference if a man lives to be 100, you know, because, I mean, that's a pretty lofty attainment. I mean, I doubt, I'm not being morbid or anything, but probably most of us probably won't make it to 100, you know, that's in this room. We probably won't. But even if we do, and we survey our life, will we not say that was a short thing? I mean, it just, where did the time go? I mean, it's just like a vapor, the scripture says. But it's even more so with the wicked, because they are cut down quickly and they are no more. I mean, that's what the scripture says right here. It says, they shall be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Now, everybody in here has a lawnmower. And you go out, you mow the lawn or pay somebody to mow it, but anyway, it gets cut down. And you can go out there in a month's time, and you won't find that grass that you cut down, will you? Well, you might find a blade of it here or there, but the point is that it's cut down and it is no more. That's what it says right here. It withers as the green herb. I mean, when the herbs of the earth, when they wither and die, they don't just keep building up. I mean, think about it. If they were around, we've cut down, I mean, we'd be covered up. I mean, there wouldn't be anything left. No, they wither and die. They're gone. And that's a sad condition, is it not? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. Well, we're in trouble if we take that in its literal sense. Now, we do exhort one another to do these very things. Trust in the Lord. We do exhort one another to trust in the Lord. But what if your salvation depended upon your trust in the Lord? What if it did? I mean, now, on the one hand, we know that only those who trust the Lord shall be delivered. But what if it was up to you to trust the Lord, and it was, and if you faltered or failed in that, that was it? Would you want to be in a situation like that? We do exhort one another to trust in the Lord. But dear brethren, this, while we exhort one another to trust in the Lord and to do good, good things are good, are they not? And we know what good things are to an extent, at least. And we want to do good. And we exhort one another to do good. But what if I told you tomorrow, all right, here's what you're going to be, it's going to stand, your standing before the Lord is going to be how good you are. Now, how would you do? Where would you find yourself? You'd be cut off, would you not, pretty soon? Because it's not in man by nature to do good. In fact, the Scripture says there's none that doeth good. No, not one. Now, I didn't make that up. It's right there. There is none that doeth good. But He said to do good. Now, so where does that leave us? Well, it leaves us or brings us to the place of recognizing that apart from having someone to be our substitute before Almighty God and stand in our room and place as one who is completely trusting in the Lord and going about doing good, Scripture says He went about doing good. Why? Because He is good. And He was good as He walked upon earth. So trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Why are we fed? Because of the mercy of God, because of the righteousness of Christ, because He has imputed His goodness to us. And He has been our goodness. We are not those who are good, and the Lord says, well, they're good, so I'm going to bless them. No, our goodness is in Christ. And any blessing that comes to us through Christ. So shalt thou dwell in the land. Why will we dwell in the land? Because of the mercy of God. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now I've often heard this spoken of. Well, brother, what you've got to do is you just got to delight yourself in the things of the Lord. Go out and do it. Well, why don't you start doing that? Can a man do that? Can you delight in anything that you don't delight in? I mean, why do you delight in something? Why is it that some people like to fish? Some people like to race cars. Some people like to make things with sculptures. What if the fellow, what was his name? Bezaliel? Al's going to nod off on me. Bezaliel? Wasn't that how you pronounce that? Bezaliel? And what if the Lord said, now, I'm going to give you the ability to make these things, but you're going to hate every minute of it. I mean, you know, what if If the Lord gives a man a talent, but he doesn't give him a desire to do it, does that happen? I mean, does a guy that loves to pitch a baseball, is he going out to the mound and saying, man, I'll be glad when this is over? No, what? He wants to do that, does he not? You see, when God works in a man, He causes him to desire the things that he desires. And we delight in the Lord because He causes us to. That's just the way that it is. I mean, I can't love to design women's handbags. Now, some people, I mean, they think about that at night. You know, they think about how am I going to design this and what am I going to do here. I can't do that. I'd be lying to you if I told you I had any desire whatsoever to do that. But there's some people that deserve. Same thing with making shoes or designing clothes or all manner of things. But you see, the Lord's the one that gives people the desire to do those things and to delight in it. And the Lord is the one that gives a man a delight in the things of God. And He says here, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Did He not do that with the Lord Jesus Christ? Was He not the perfect example of this? The Lord said to Him, ask of Me, and I'll give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. And He came, and He purchased that which the Lord gave to Him. And it's His. And He is the perfect example of one who delighted himself in the Lord day and night, and the Lord gave him the desires of his heart. And so it is, dear brethren, that as the Lord gives a man a love for the things of God, He also gives him the desires of his heart, because that's the very thing that he wants. Now, you know, I've heard men say it, when you don't have to go very far or turn on the radio very often, and you'll hear somebody telling this kind of stuff. Well, brother, if you'll just be faithful and you'll give your money, especially be sure when you write the check out to write it out to me, and sow your seed, and I'll tell you, the Lord will give you whatever you want. If you want a Cadillac, you just go down to the Cadillac dealership and look, pick out the one you want, and you send me a big enough check, and before you know it, that thing will be sitting in your driveway. Now, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that the natural man and the natural religious man feeds on. But that's not what He says here. He said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Because that is the desire of our heart. That is the work of the Spirit of God. And that's perfectly exemplified in the Lord Jesus Christ. As He said, I came not to do what mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. He delighted in the Lord, did He not? And what did the Lord do? He gave Him the desires of His heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Now here again, the natural man looks at that and he says, okay, I want to arrive over here. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to commit my way to the Lord, and the Lord's going to cause me to arrive over here. Well, that's not what He's telling. That's not what He's teaching us. If we commit our way to the Lord, what... If we pray, Father, not my will, but thine be done, is that not to commit our way to the Lord? So then, our way is no longer our way, is it? Our way is His way. And that's what it is to commit our way unto the Lord. It's not to say, Lord, here's my way, help me to get there. No, it's, Lord, what would You have me to do? See, that's how the Lord works in His people, is to cause them to desire the things that He would have them to do. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Bring what to pass? His will, His purpose. See, our committing our way unto Him is a privilege. It's not a means whereby we're going to gain what we want, but it's the privilege of being made conformable unto His will. Even as the Lord Jesus perfectly illustrated for us, He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Why? Because the evidence that the Lord works in His people is that He conforms them to His will. He causes them to desire His way, and their righteousness is brought forth as the noonday, but it's not theirs. It's only theirs by imputation. But they call it theirs. It is ours, is it not? I mean, is not the righteousness of Christ ours? Paul said He's made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So His righteousness is ours. He's given it to us. That's what He said. And so He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light. Now, man can't see that, you see, apart from the grace of God. But the Lord said, as He'll bring forth thy righteousness as the light, that is, it will be spread out. It'll be set forth. It'll be a thing that can be seen. And is that not what the Lord does when He teaches us the gospel and shows us who Christ is? And shows us what we are by nature. He causes these things to be set forth in the light, thy judgment as the noonday. Now, I've said this many times, judgment's not a bad thing if you're innocent. Now, you know, it's amazing to me how that, you know, the circus that goes on in our places of government in the name of so-called seeking justice, when in reality they're just seeking to find something to put on somebody. I mean, you know, and they're all of them guilty of the same thing. They're all doing the same kind of stuff, so I'm not putting one side against another. It's sometimes put on more clear display than at others. But you see, they're not seeking forth judgment and justice, they're just seeking condemnation. But there's more to judgment than condemnation. See, a judge can say, or the verdict of the court can come down and say not guilty, as well as it can come down and say guilty. Now, when all these guys is coming up with Trump, they just can't wait till they find something where they can say, he's guilty, he's guilty. String him up from the yardarm. See, I told you he was guilty. He's guilty. Maybe he is guilty. I don't know. The Lord knows. But you know, judgment has to do with justice. And justice can be satisfied. And justice is satisfied in our case. And so our judgment. You see, the day of judgment, it's an awful thing to consider that there is going to be the wrath of God poured out upon multitudes. But dear brethren, the sons of God who are hidden in Christ have no reason to fear the day of judgment. Because it's in the day of judgment where the Lord is going to set His people upon His right hand and say, they belong to me. Our judgment is that which is set forth in the light. And we are made free and as those who have never sinned because of the justice of Almighty God. See, He's both just and the justifier. He didn't just rule us just, but He made us just in Christ. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Now that's how he began the psalm. And the only way that a man can be in a position not to fret because of evildoers is to rest in the Lord. I mean, just turn it over to the Lord. I mean, He's going, what are we going to do about it? I mean, because you got wicked men on every hand and some seeking to overturn the courts of justice in this country, what are you going to do about it? Not really anything. I mean, there's nothing you can do. When somebody mistreats you, what can you do? I mean, the natural man says, well, you've got to do something back to them. I mean, that's the most satisfying thing to the natural man, is it not? But it's not for the sons of God. That's not the principle upon which the kingdom of God is built. Rest in the Lord. Wait upon Him. See? That's the place. Wait patiently for it. Now, I'm glad He put patiently in there, because it's not an easy thing, is it? You know, children have a hard time with patience, just like adults do. But, you know, a child, he just thinks that things just are, he's got to have this thing right now. I see them come in the store all the time, and of course we got those gum machines and stuff over there by the door. And when they come in, the first thing they do is go over there and look at that thing. And they're just looking at it and turning the knobs and everything and going over there to their mom or their daddy and saying, "Daddy, can I have a quarter?" and this, that, and the other. And the daddy might say, "Yes, son, let me get through here." You know, but that ain't good enough. You know, because they can't wait patiently. And so there is a difference between frettingly waiting and waiting patiently. The Lord Jesus Christ waited patiently. He was as led as a sheep to the slaughter, and He opened not His mouth. But He waited upon the Lord. He trusted in Him. And He did not fret Himself because of them that prospered in their way. Did not the wicked prosper in their way when they took the Lord Jesus Christ into that Roman judgment hall? When they cried out, "Crucify Him"? When they rejoiced, when they spat upon Him, when they plucked out His beard, when they did all of those things, did they not rejoice? Did they not prosper in their way? Did they not say, "Man, we got Him now"? But the Lord, He opened not His mouth. He didn't whisper a word of condemnation to any of them. They brought wicked devices to pass. Now, they brought wicked devices to pass according to what? The purpose of Almighty God. There wasn't one wicked device that occurred, ever occurs, or occurred in that day, which was not ordained to occur according to the sovereign purpose of the Holy God. Now, people have a hard time with that sometimes. But brethren, either God's Almighty God and all things that occur according to His will, or some things don't. And that's a scary proposition, to think that some things might be happening that's outside of His will. He does according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and there's none that can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, why did He have to say that? Why do you suppose He had to spell that out just like that? Because when wicked men do wicked things against us, what's the first thing we do? We get mad. And there's such a thing as righteous indignation, but most of our anger doesn't fall in that category, does it? We like to think that it does. Oh, well, you know, They did that against us, so it's right for us to be angry at them. No. Yeah, exactly. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Turn from it. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. That is, don't turn what they've done into you doing an equally bad thing in the you know, in retrospect to it. Spread not thyself in any wise. The Lord said, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Now sometimes a blue jay, I have had blue jays to attack me before. You know, I mean, I guess you get close to their nest or something, I don't know, but I've had them come, there's various birds that will attack you. But doves, I don't know, maybe they will too in the right situation, but the Lord used a dove, did He not, as an illustration of how we are to be. And you know, doves are those who are juxtaposed against the hawks in government. You know, they talk about the hawks and the doves. Now, sometimes some people like to take pride in being a hawk. the Lord said you should be glad, you should be a dove. Now, you take that for what it means, what you want it to be. But you know, the wicked are for war, are they not? I mean, they're for strife. Now, I know that the Lord uses governments, and sometimes war is inevitable, and there'll be wars and rumors of wars to the time of the end. But God's people are not people of war, are we not? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty to the casting down of what? Imaginations. You see, that's the place where the Spirit of God works, is in the imaginations, the minds of men. And He subdues whole nations through their mind and heart. He can do that. You remember when, I believe it was Sennacherib, when he besieged the city of Jerusalem. And they were in there and dying and everything. And in the middle of the night, he sent a sound of an approaching army, and all the armies all fled and left. What did he do? He played a trick on their mind, did he not? I mean, he worked in their mind to bring his purpose to pass. And so it is that the Lord would have us not to fret in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. Now, this is a truth that's taught throughout the Scripture. The wicked shall perish. The wicked shall be destroyed. Evildoers shall be cut off. That is, they, just in contrast to what he says about the people of God, he said, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, what earth is he talking about? Is he talking about this one? I mean, do you want to inherit this earth? Do you want this corrupt place that you're presently living in to be your inheritance forever? No, the Scripture says he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And you see, that is the inheritance of the saints of God. We shall inherit the earth. We shall, according to His mercy and kindness, but those that wait upon the Lord. You see, evildoers shall be cut off. There's going to be a contrast between those who are the children of God and those who are not in the final day, because the Lord will cut them off and there'll be no more. Be the end of them. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Now, brethren, we don't have eternal life by nature. We don't have life at all except it's given to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us life, and we have it because of Him. Now, the Scripture says that the Father gave the Son to have life in Himself. He has life in Himself. We have life not in ourselves, but in Him. We live because He lives. Our life's in Him. He has hid our life. Our life is hidden with Christ. Where? In God. And dear brethren, by the mercy of God, as the world is destroyed in a fervent heat, the Scripture says, the sons of God shall be preserved in Christ. And we shall inherit that which the Lord has ordained from the beginning that we should be ours. And we'll receive it because not of what we've done, but because of what He's done. And why should we fret ourselves against evildoers? I mean, what can they do? Our pity should be upon them. Even as the Lord, I believe, demonstrated this, He looked upon Jerusalem and He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee, but you would not." Oh, what solemn words those are. When the Lord shall say to many, we shall say to Him in that day, "Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in Thy name?" And He shall say to them, "Depart from me, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. Oh, what a solemn time. What an awful thing. But to those who are His, He shall say, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And they shall say, well, Lord, when saw we thee naked? And when did we do these things? Lord, how could it be that this kindness has been visited upon us? Because, dear brethren, He says, I saw you do those things. Not that I saw you do them, but I saw Christ in them. And because of Christ, you shall inherit the kingdoms that are forever. May the Lord help us. Somebody give us a, or somebody got a question or a comment.